John the Baptist, the baptizer, is probably one of the strangest figures that you will find in the family tree of the New Testament. He is a little different. I suspect that if John should appear today in any of our local churches, you and I would feel very comfortable because he was just one of those folks. First of all, John's clothing is questionable. He wore camel's hair and girdles of camel's hair. If you want to think about that, in other words, he had camel hair underwear. Can you imagine how comfy that was? But anyway, first of all, John's clothing was like that, but it was not quite the fashion rage of the time. His diet of locust and honey aren't on anyone's menu except for the science museum that we have in Raleigh, because you know they eat lots of bugs and ants and things like that over there, crispy critters I call them, from time to time. So that's kind of what John was doing. He was eating off the land. He was eating the things that the Lord provided for him. He was eating the plants and the honey and the protein that came from the little bugs. He was running around proclaiming the Word of God. Perhaps the most unusual thing about John is the way that he always seems to be looking for someone. He's looking for someone. He's searching. Engage him in conversation and he looks right past you as though he is expecting someone or searching someone for someone else, that he's waiting for someone else to come. His mind is always working. But one thing you have to say for John the Baptist is that when he sees what he is looking for, he's not shy about pointing it out. Verse 29, he says, "Here is the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God." He's not shy about, like our children weren't shy in the back when they heard the music. They heard the words, that it made them happy. It made them dance. It made them feel that way. I think sometimes you and I get so stuck in wanting to do things right and not wanting anybody to think that we've lost our mind or anything like that, that we're afraid sometimes to do things. You know, I was sitting over here tapping my foot and singing along with it. I saw a lot of other people kind of doing some of the same things, shaking their head and nodding and getting excited. Sometimes we do that. When the choir was singing this morning, when I looked out, I could see so many of you singing, "Let There Be Peace on Earth." It makes us feel good. It makes us know that, yes, you're a part of worship. You're participating. You're listening. You're enjoying your being there. And that's what John is about. He's about seeing God and finding God, and he found the Lamb of God. It's easy to be put off a little bit by John or folks like him in our world today because he has strange clothes and food. Now, if you are around in the world that I live in, and I think you are, we have people all the time that we run into. Have you seen people with strange hair lately? Have you seen people with strange clothing on or lack thereof? Have you seen things around you? Have you watched people eat things that are weird? Yeah. So we have this world around us that there are things that are always different. But at the same time, there is something compelling about some of those people. Sometimes those people maybe get your attention, maybe not for the right reason, but you're kind of like, well, they're pretty cool. They're all right. It's different. You know, Miss Louise out here's got purple highlights in her hair. I mean, geez, I love it. So it gets your attention. I laugh. Of course, I like to pick on her because I can. She is just a wonderful human being. But sometimes we see people and we begin to get that connection, and we begin to talk to them. And sometimes we might not would have stopped and talked to them unless something had happened, or we maybe held the door for someone, and they're like, wow, somebody actually held the door for me, you know, and that kind of thing. And we, you know, how was your day today? It's good to see you. Might not have no clue who they are, but just say, you know, it's a beautiful day. God is good. Whatever, you know, people will come back to you and say something. Yes, we live in a world where some people are not happy. Some people don't believe that there is a God. Some people don't believe that there is anything other than who they are. And when we have that, then that's those people we're sad about. But what we do is we pray for them. We pray and ask God's blessings to be with them and allow God to pierce their heart, to come into their lives, and to do something that will change them, to do something that will allow them to be able to hear with different ears. But you know, at the same time of John being kind of weird looking. There's something compelling about him. The attraction may have to do with his passion about what he's up to. John is a man on a mission. He believes that there is something stirring in this world, and he does not intend on missing out on it. He's looking for nothing less than God's visitation. He wants to visit with God, and he knows that he's going to get to do that in the form of the Messiah. And when John sees the presence of holiness in the form of Jesus, he is bold to declare it. He says, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Reading John's words today in the gospel is not unlike listening to someone who is breathless with excitement as they tell you what they have seen or what they have found. How many times have you been around small little people, kids, and they're so excited about something they found or something they have just, and it's like it's new to them. They've been able to ride something or with something, or they want you to come see something, and they come tearing into a room and they're so excited. And you've got to come right now, drop everything you're doing, come look at this. It's important to them right at that moment. And that's kind of what John is like. He's like that. He knows that there's something good. He's excited about what he has seen and what has been found. He's breathless. I wonder, is passion what the Church of Jesus Christ needs as it lives its life in this new year? You know, we've just started a new year. We're only 19 days into it. Are we compromised by being lazy or being, "Oh, I just don't feel like doing it. I don't know. I'm tired. I've done this all week," and all that kind of stuff. But here we are in the second Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany. Wow. You know, a few weeks ago we had Epiphany. People say, "What is that? I don't know. I weren't here. What do we do?" What is Epiphany? Epiphany is when what? The wise men make their way back and find Jesus, bring Him the gifts, and it's wonderment. It's a manifestation of the good to come, the good that has happened. It is that wonderful moment when an old man declares that he is ready to die because why? He has seen it all, literally seeing God's salvation in Christ the Lord, so now he can go to heaven. Simeon has waited for who? The Messiah. And the Messiah is here, and he saw him as a baby. He saw him as a young tot. Simeon now is at peace. He is ready to die and to go to heaven. That's what Epiphany is about. It's that time of renewal and rejoicing to say, "Wow, the Son of God is here." It is that time. And what about us? What about you and I? Is it just a second Sunday after the Epiphany? Have we all become so dull so soon? How many of you couldn't wait to take down your Christmas stuff that you got it took down that afternoon or the next day? Yeah. Because you want that mess out of your house, you want everything cleaned up, you got to let it go. Well, of course, in the church, we let it stay up to when? Epiphany through Epiphany. And people are like, "We need to take that mess down. It's time to put it back up." Well, no, it's not. Epiphany's not here. Good. I keep some out all year round. That's just the way it goes. Because Epiphany is something that we should be reminded of. I keep the little manger scenes or the creches up all over from time to time just to see them, just to be reminded that it is something that doesn't go away. It is something that is new. We keep things up through what I was told as a kid was old Christmas. Well, old Christmas is Epiphany. We keep it up to be reminded. We keep it up to celebrate. We keep it up to try to not be so dull. Has the glow of that amazing day warmed so dimly and so quickly? It's only days ago that we were all so excited about the lights of Christmas and the candles on Christmas Eve. You know, it's exciting. I know that you, like I was talking about little people, my great niece, of course, is in Alaska in Fairbanks. Well, they're 4 hours. So what if it's about 12 now, so it's about 8 o'clock in the morning there. But they, when I call them of a night, or we call, talk each other, I have to wait till about 10 or 11 o'clock, so it'll be like 7 or whatever. They are 6:37 is when we try to do things so that Miss Charlotte can talk to me. Well, she's 2, or about 2 in a few months. Well, 2-year-olds have an attention span of a gnat, don't they? Yeah, it's just like everything's exciting. They're all over the place. Well, we FaceTime, so I get to see her. And so she takes her mom or daddy's phone, whichever one, and she walks all over the house. So the phone is just, and she shows me stuff. She'll say, "See, Minda, look." And sometimes I see her nose or her eyeball or, you know, the corner of a tree. But she was so excited during Christmas to show me her Christmas tree and her stockings and all those things. And she looked, and one, she called, they called me and sent me a message and said, "Charlie wants to talk to you." And it was the 15th of December. And I had sent them an Advent calendar. I sent her one last year, and it was got there too late. So what they did is they used those readings for this year, but bought her the little thing that she could open each day and take her little piece of chocolate out. And so she said, "Look, Minda," and she opened it up, and she took it, and she ate it, and we talked about Jesus and everything. And then she goes, "You want to see?" And I said, "Yes." So, of course, I get a mouth, you know, with chocolate in it. And she was so excited. And then, of course, she goes and she shows you everything else. So we played ball, and it's purple, and she tells me all these things. But the last thing she says is, "Love you, Minda, bye." And when she's ready to push that button, let me tell you something. Sometimes you might get "love you, bye" because she's gone. She likes to, because that's what children are. They're excited. Things are happy. I know Donna can see that Henry gets so excited. Little people get so excited about stuff because it's just new and refreshing, and you want to see new things happening. They want to help. They always are helping at that age. They want to see things new. And that's what we have to sometimes remember, that things are exciting and new. And if we can have just a little bit of that, just a smidgen of that in our lives, to be so excited about the Christmas candles and the Christmas lights and the things that we have here on Christmas Eve. But sometimes it leaves us away too soon. It can happen, but God help us. We must not let it die. We must remember in these days that we are asked to remember our baptismal vows, to remember and be thankful. As we walk further and further away from the manger, we need the manifestation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need it more than we ever have before. Christmas is over, but Christ lives on. The gifts have been opened, but God keeps giving. The world's observance of Christmas concludes. It's over, it's ended. But the church still celebrates the light that the darkness cannot overcome. There is light that the darkness can't put out, that light of Jesus. Henry Van Dyke once wrote, "Are you willing to believe that love is the strongest thing in the world? Stronger than hate, stronger than evil, stronger than death. And that the blessed life which began in Bethlehem in the image and brightness of eternal love." It is the image and brightness of eternal love. And if we believe that, then you and I can keep Christmas. And if we keep it for a day, why not always? Passionate. John the Baptizer is a good model for you and I, the church, to be guided in these days after Christmas. John's passion, his witness, his declaration are the church's charter. Here is the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May you and I be boldly passionate as we proclaim the message in word and deed. Let us pray.